grand slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Walter Pennington. He's a professional baseball pitcher in the Texas Rangers organization. Before that, he played for the Kansas City Royals. In fact, he made his major league debut on July 5th of this year. He's from Colorado, and he made his debut against the Colorado Rockies. How about that? We'll talk to Walter about his career playing baseball and his faith life, why it is so important to him. Walter, thanks for coming on Blessed to Play. Do appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron. It's great to be here.
Well, this is such an interesting journey, as it's not conventional by any stretch of the imagination. You went to a small college, performed well, and thus signed a professional contract. But let's just back up to growing up in Broomfield, Colorado, and the love of the game of baseball. Talk about the introduction to baseball and how you grew to just enjoy playing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, growing up, I think my first word as a little infant was ball. And so I think my mom's first memory was us playing catch or more fetch, of her tossing that ball and me bringing it back to her. So baseball has always been something that I've known, always have played it. My grandpa was great into coaching, father too, even played some college ball. So it just runs in our blood in the family. And then, of course, progressing through the levels, the dream of becoming a MLB player, as any other little kid has, it keeps getting more and more real as you get older and older and make these milestone leaps, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, I want to talk about believing in yourself, because I'm thinking when you would go to a small college like Colorado School of Mines, that you're not getting all this positive reinforcement. You're going to be in the major leagues. You're going to be in the show. But you had to believe in yourself through this whole process. Talk about going to that small school and just keeping that belief that someday you were going to sign a professional contract.
I think it's more of belief in God. There's a little ignorance there, too. By choosing the Colorado School of Mines, I thought I was keeping the dream of both baseball dream alive, as well as having a good plan B. I didn't really know that no one came from the School of Mines for professional baseball, so the ignorance played there. But the Lord really led me, and I had met great coaches along the way that really helped improve my skills. And I think just, like I said, those little checkpoints getting better and better. And faith in the Lord, he led me to this. Like, I didn't do this on my own. It's been a team effort.
Well, that's a beautiful reliance you had on God, and a sense of abandonment to see how the process is going to play out based on your faith. And at Colorado School of Mines, you finished with a 24-10 record, 51 appearances, 30 starts, including 6 complete games, 3 saves, and 1 shutout. So those numbers are good. And then the Kansas City Royals, You were unselected in the 2020 Major League Baseball draft, and you signed a minor league contract with Kansas City on August 24th, 2020. And that had to be a big day for you, obviously, Walter, but just talk about the emotion and also that day when you knew you were going to be a professional baseball player.
Mm-hmm. Well, it started, I think, my junior year. I had a pretty good year in college, and I did not get drafted. And that was kind of a gut punch, I could say, because I was rolling in my senior year thinking we'll go out with a bang, then I'll go get my engineering degree and move on with my life. And then COVID hits. Like, oh, great, I lost my senior season. Now I just get to go be an engineer. But when I heard the NCAA was giving our season back, I kept training and I started throwing a little bit harder. And then I was invited out to the NBC World Series out in Kansas. And I played one game with a team I'd never played with before and pitched 4 innings. After the game, I was on the phone with my brother talking about where to go to dinner. And all of a sudden, a scout stops me and says, hey, are you interested in signing a professional contract? At that point, it wasn't really on my radar. I just wanted to see it, go out there and see how hard I could throw. But it ended up, my dreams were kind of fulfilled. I wouldn't say the dream was completely squashed of becoming an MLB player. Like I said, hitting those checkpoints of hitting varsity baseball in high school and then making the college team and starting in college. I wouldn't say it was completely squashed, but it was diminishing. And in that moment, it was ignited, and it actually happened. I'm just so thankful for it. It kind of caught me by surprise. And there were other things going on in my life too, of whether I join Focus and become a missionary. They were a large part in my life, or go be an engineer. So it made that moment a lot sweeter.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer chatting today with Walter Pennington. He's currently in the Texas Rangers organization. He pitched for the Kansas City Royals, made his debut, Major League Baseball debut, that is, this past July. Well, let's talk about your life in the minor leagues. And I know it's certainly not the show. There's a lot of bus rides and there's a lot of getting used to being a professional. You're playing every day. You're a pitcher, so you're not playing every day, but the team is certainly playing every day. But you start off at the rookie level, the Arizona Complex League, and then Single A and Columbia Fireflies, and ultimately you went to Quad City and then Omaha, I believe, where you made an impact and thus got your debut with the Royals. But just talk about your experience playing minor league baseball and that maturation process, not only as a player, but as a person as well.
It was 4 years of very formative time in my life, I would say. Going from being an undrafted free agent, signing with the Royals, and being in the same, on the same field with these guys who played D1 baseball, were stars of D1 baseball that I've heard about. I feel like I didn't fit in there. But as you hang around them more, you see that they have the same struggles you do, the same types of people. They're still human. And then that gives me a little bit more confidence. I didn't think I was going to break out, break the squad to low A my first year there. I thought they were going to keep me. But then when the rosters were set, I was headed out. So someone had faith in me, and I appreciated that. And it gave me faith in myself, too, more so. But moving through those points, you kind of question yourself, are you good enough? Or is my stuff, does my stuff play at this level? And so when I hit those checkpoints, and I just keep getting better and better, and then there's coaches who unlock things that you didn't know you had the potential to do, it gives you more confidence. And I think I made the biggest jump this year from AAA to the big leagues because something was unlocked. Again, it's not a team, it's not an individual effort, it's a team effort. And I'm just very thankful for this journey.
Well, let me ask you this. When you go through the various levels of minor league baseball, you have different pitching coaches, you have different managers, you have different instruction. How do you get the best out of yourself, remain within yourself, but also take all this information in from outside sources?
It was a big learning curve because you try to take in all that these coaches have to offer, but they're speaking from their experience and what has worked for them. But it doesn't necessarily work for you individually. So I had to learn early on to take what they were telling me and to filter and sift through it myself. And I'm still doing that because coaches keep offering different things. But when it comes down to it, when you're competing out there on the mound, you can't think. You got to rely on instinct. So all that hard work comes in the beginning and in the off season, trying to solidify those instincts. But to sift through those pieces of advice coaches have to offer is a big skill you have to obtain.
I want to talk about your time playing for the Omaha Storm Chasers, and this is at AAA. So you're one level now below going to the show, and you received their promotion following 8 scoreless appearances for Northwest Arkansas. So in 41 games for Omaha, you logged a 7-2 record, 3.69 ERA, and 64 strikeouts, and that's within 61 innings. Was it your time in Omaha that, I don't know, something clicked and you said, I definitely belong, I am ready, and I can be a pitcher at the major league level?
I thought at the end of last year, so now not this season, but last season, I thought I had a chance of getting pulled up at the end there. The Royals were struggling quite a bit, and I thought I could offer that. Dane Johnson, the pitching coach there, was really teaching me to pitch inside hard and then go soft away, which is something I didn't really have in the toolbox then. But I think something really clicked for me this year, and it was talking with the big league pitching coaches in spring training when they taught me a cutter. I had been working on a cutter for a while now, and it wasn't clicking. But it was one grip that Zach Bove showed me that unlocked everything. And adding the cutter consistently opened up my other pitches, which ultimately I think got me to the big leagues.
Blessed to play Ron Meyer chatting today with Walter Pennington. He's a pitcher in the Texas Ranger organization. All right, Walter, I'm going to set this up. This is an incredible story. So as I mentioned before, you're from Broomfield, Colorado. And you did well at AAA with the Omaha Storm Chasers. And then you get the call up to the big leagues. Talk about just getting that call and just set up the circumstances here. You made your major league debut against the Colorado Rockies, recorded your first strikeout. I believe it was a clean inning as well, or two innings. But that had to be an incredible setup for you to make your major league baseball debut.
I couldn't have written it out any better. So I had an unbelievable season, first half of the season in AAA. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to get the call at any time, because the year before I was promoted after eight scoreless outings. So I was just waiting for the phone call. And of course I was looking at the box scores. Nothing was happening, no movement. But I kept going. And then I hit a little bit of a rut. And I was like, great, the call's not coming now. And I really hit a rut. So the night before I got called up, I was in Des Moines, Iowa. And I think I didn't even make it out of the inning there. I threw 0.2 innings, probably gave up two runs, lost the lead, something like that. So I'm sitting in the stairwell with talking to my wife on the phone, because that's the only quiet place I can find in the hotel. And after I hung up the phone with her, I get a call from the manager. And he asks, are you going to be okay? He's like, yeah, I'll be all right. I'll figure it out. And he's like, well, you better figure it out because you're going up. I was like, what? This was when I least expected it. I didn't think I deserved it at the time.
Yeah.
But someone else did. And he's like, come back to the field, get your bag, and you're getting a flight out of here in the morning. And so I couldn't sleep that night. Everything's going through my head. Like, what am I? There's a little bit of doubt, you could say, mm-hmm. But also just extreme excitement that someone has faith in me again and I can do this. And then everyone was very affirming along the way. Salvi was the first person I saw at the hotel when I got to Colorado. And he just helped calm my nerves a little bit, but I didn't sleep that night. Try to get to the hotel room for a night game, try to take a nap, couldn't do it. Phone's blowing up, trying to get tickets for everybody. Chaos. It's not really what you want for your debut, but everyone goes through it. But I think it was good because it took the focus off of thinking on the mound. So I go to the bullpen that day. And this is what I've heard from other guys who have made their debuts. They say that they get you hot in the game, hot in the bullpen to go into the game, but they don't actually put you in to kind of get those nerves out. And then they'll put you in the next day. Mm-hmm. So that's in the back of my mind. Game gets out of hand kind of in the eighth inning. And they get me going. And I was ready for it. I think that's the calmest part of the day. I could finally rest because my body just fell in line. I could rely on instinct finally. Mm-hmm. And then the game really gets out of hand, and then they actually put me in. And that was crazy. But I had so many people at the game there that I felt like half the stadium was rooting for me, even right. though we were on the road. I got on the mound and just did my thing. I don't really remember the pitch sequences. I know I struck out the first guy. And I got the second guy to ground out, strand two runners. And then when I came out of the game, I remember that handshake from Brian Sweeney, the pitching coach, just saying, you're done, take it all in. And I could breathe. And I could see all 48,000 people, and I couldn't help but smile. And I will never forget that moment.
That is tremendous. And thanks for that vivid recount. I mean, it's incredible what must be going through a person's mind when they're making their debut with all the anxiety. And as you mentioned, a lot of people don't think what you're doing before the game as far as getting people tickets and just controlling your own emotions and being excited and being anxious and not knowing if you're going to pitch or not. And then having your folks in the stands and you're playing in Colorado where you grew up. It was a lot of stuff working, but you mentioned something that was pretty incredible. You just rely on instinct. You know, I put in all these reps throughout my years, and I'm going just back to playing baseball and letting that take over. So that's a beautiful recount of your major league debut. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to continue our discussion with Walter Pennington. He's pitching right now in the Texas Rangers organization. We'll talk about another side of his life when Blessed to Play returns right after this.
Have you ever noticed that the world associates fanaticism with religion? But G.K. Chesterton says the strangest fanaticism that fills our time is the fanatical hatred of morality, especially Christian morality. It's the irreligious who are fanatical in their hatred of religion. They hate religion because religion is the only basis for morality. They hate morality because it's clear that they prefer things to be vague to the point where they can call wrongs rights. You cannot call something a right when it defies God's laws. We can only call it a sin. If we really care about respecting human rights, Chesterton says, we need to treat them as divine rights. All rights come from God, and God is not going to break his own laws. Neither should we.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Walter Pennington. Made his major league debut this past July with the Kansas City Royals and then got dealt to the Texas Rangers, and he's playing in their organization now. We talked about his God-given talent to play the game of baseball, and it's a pretty good talent that he does have to throw the ball in upwards of 90 miles an hour, which is a tremendous feat in and of itself. But there's another part of Walter that's very important to him, I would say more important than baseball, and that is his life of faith. So, Walter, you're raised Catholic, and just talk about that journey as a boy growing up in the Catholic faith and how it became meaningful to you.
So growing up, we would go to Sunday Mass. My whole mom's side of the family, it seems like 30 of us, would sit in the front right pew, 7:30 a.m. every Sunday. That's where you could find us. I went to Sunday school. I went to Sunday school, and then I went to public school. Mm-hmm. But it really didn't trickle outside of church much more than that. And we just went through the motions, essentially. I knew my prayers, but I didn't know why. I didn't know why it mattered. And then I'd say the later parts of high school, I started asking questions. I'm more of a math and science mind. I got my engineering degree. And so I was wondering how science and the faith came together. So mm-hmm. I was questioning in my head at the time. And then also in my heart, I didn't know why I should care. But the Lord worked his ways, and I found Catholic Answers, which was a great resource at the time, the YouTube videos where they put out those 5-minute segments, and they answered a lot of my questions about faith and science, mm-hmm. as well as many more questions. So my head was being converted there. And around the same time, I had a prayer answered that it was just very special to me. I knew it was the Lord. I knew that he cared about me, and he cared about me outside of church as well. And so at that time, my heart was being converted. And that led me to the Colorado School of Mines, where the Lord got me again through the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. I met my first, I guess you'd say, Catholic friend, athlete friend. Mm-hmm. He was a folks missionary. He played sports. And I had never met anyone like that. So he got me talking. We got into a Bible study together, fellowship. And through focus throughout my 4 years at the School of Mines, I really developed a relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Going to adoration, going to daily mass even. And then having a Catholic community around me, something that was very new. And I'd say that was where it really kickstarted for me to where I am now.
So this had to change your perspective on being an athlete. And I talk in the show a lot about identity. And as you know, being a competitive athlete, a lot of athletes have their identity in the sport that they play. And there's a lot of highs and lows, and that could affect you. But it sounds like your faith was now your guide as an athlete. So talk about coming from that perspective now that you found your faith and fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm. And it's still something I have to battle against today, is your worth is not based on your performance. Mm-hmm. Even though it feels like guys talk to you more, people talk to you more, they're happy around you when you're doing well. Mm-hmm. But it really comes down to you are a beloved son or daughter of God, and nothing can take that away from you. And when you're rooted in that, and you have people in your Catholic circle who can reinforce that, nothing else really matters. Everything that happens is the Lord's will. And mm-hmm. You just got to, you're along for the ride, and you just got to say yes. So when I came to that realization, and I'm still coming to it, you know, it's a daily battle. It's very freeing.
And I think also with adversity, as a professional athlete, you've had highs and lows, obviously, but your faith had to help you put these highs and lows into a perspective that was comforting for you.
Mm-hmm. My debut was the highest of highs, you could say, from a worldly standpoint. But when I reflect back upon it, like, yes, I have a lot of energy surrounding that, but that is not, it kind of was a letdown when you think, oh, I thought it, I was expecting this to be everything I was hoping for, mm-hmm. but it wasn't. And I knew that going into it, like, the Lord is the only one who can give you ultimately what your heart desires, and that is love. And so all these worldly things that the world says that will give you satisfaction did not. So in that regard, that was awesome. But also the lows, like we were talking about, it's not, baseball is not my life. It's what I do. And so it's comforting in those moments to know that my worth is not found in my performance.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer chatting once again with Walter Pennington. He's a pitcher now in the Texas Rangers organization. So I'd like to talk about how you sustain yourself spiritually. So to be a good pitcher, you have to put in the work in the weight room, proper nutrition, a good mental outlook on what you're doing. But in order to progress in the spiritual life, you have to put in the time and effort as well. So tell us how you do that.
So like I said, in college, focus really helped me develop a relationship with Jesus, which got me praying a holy hour almost every day and going to daily mass. And I continued that into professional baseball, especially as I didn't know many people. The one consistent in my crazy life of minor league baseball and now major league baseball is the church. We're in a new city every 3 days. Mm-hmm. We're in a hotel room. We're around our families about half that time. And so the church is the one thing. And the good thing about moving up in the levels, especially through AAA and the big leagues, is that they're normally in major cities. And those major cities have Catholic churches everywhere.
Right.
So to sustain myself spiritually, I go to daily mass, normally at noon. I walk to mass. And then I pray a holy hour either before or after mass. And then I'll go to lunch. And actually this year, the Lord answered one of my greatest prayers was to find a good Catholic man who plays baseball in the professional world. Mm-hmm. And his name is Austin Nola, the brother of Aaron Nola. And it was awesome to meet another Catholic. This is the first good Catholic player that I've met. And what we do is we do this together. We'd walk to mass, we'd pray our holy hour, and then we go to mass, and then we go to lunch and talk about the faith. Mm-hmm. And that was so good for me and for him to be able to bolster each other in the faith and in baseball.
That's great. That was my next question too, because when you're in a professional clubhouse now, you know, it's a little bit of culture shock because you have a lot of international players and just players from all different backgrounds. And to find someone who had a similar belief to you, someone to keep each other sharp, that had to be a tremendous blessing. How do you find it, just faith in the clubhouse and amongst this wide variety of players from varied backgrounds?
I'm coming to find that, especially the Latin players, almost everyone, a lot of them have been raised Catholic.
Right.
And none of them practice. The Catholic, or the CAC, puts on masses every Sunday in MLB clubhouses. They bring a priest in and they'll hold mass to make it really easy for the players to go. And I would go whenever I could on those Sundays. But what I noticed is that there were rarely players. I think in total, over my 2 months in the big leagues, I only encountered two other baseball players attend mass. And that was really sad for me because I was hoping, because mass was so easily accessible, that I would meet other Catholic baseball players. So that's a big thing that we need to pray for. And I think that might be why the Lord has me here, is to bring the light of his love into these areas where he has a hard time reaching. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've only been there 2 months, but I hope that he can use me in that aspect.
Yeah, you're doing a great job so far, and I'm sure you're an open vessel, so to speak. I want to talk about the business of baseball now, because obviously it's different than college, where you have a finite amount of years that you're going to play for that college and know it's going to come to an end. But in your case, you started your pro career with the Kansas City Royals, and then you're dealt. And trades happen so often. You know, I was talking to Alan Trammell, who is a Hall of Famer for the Detroit Tigers and played his whole career with Lou Whitaker. And we talked about how those days are just gone now. Teams, because of free agency and varied aspects of the professional game, that players don't stick with one team for that long or throughout their career. So how did you look at it when you played for Kansas City and then when you were dealt to Texas? Was that a blow to you, or you just saw it as another opportunity for you to continue your baseball career?
So from the business side of things, it was great. But from the relational aspect of things, it was a big blow. Mm-hmm. I had four and a half years with the Royals. Mm-hmm. I got to go to big league spring training with them. I got to know the big league guys pretty well, mm-hmm. develop a good relationship with them. So that made my debut pretty comfortable because I knew those guys had my back. I knew them. And then getting dealt to the Rangers, I was happy for the opportunity because if you watch what the Royals did, they used those longer tenured guys for their playoff push rather than the younger guys. So I wouldn't have had the opportunity there. So I'm happy about that. But I had to meet, I think, 120 new people going over the Rangers. They sent me a AAA first, so that's maybe 60 new faces. And then the big leagues is 60-plus new faces. And I didn't know anybody. When I went out for my first game with the Rangers, it didn't go very well. I felt like I was playing on the road with my home fans booing you. But I got used to it. I'm still trying to build those relationships, but it's hard to match the 4.5 years worth of relationships in 2 months.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what you like to do when you're not playing baseball and some of your other interests in life. You grew up in Colorado, so some great surroundings there. But when you want to get away from the game or just you're in the off season now, what do you like to do to just get away?
So growing up in Colorado, I love getting outside, hunting and fishing. And I actually just got back from a fishing trip with my grandfather.
Nice.
But right now I got my hands full. We have an year-old baby right now, and we have one on the way who's due in 2 months. So my fun is hanging out with my family.
Well, congratulations. You'll be playing a lot of kid games. We know that. That'll probably be your diversion and a joyful one at that. Well, Walter Pennington has been our guest. What a tremendous athlete, folks. And came from a small college and worked his way up to the Major League Baseball level through belief and faith in God as well, which he shared with us. Walter, thanks so much. I do appreciate the time. Good luck in your professional baseball career. I know you'll make the most out of it. And thank you for joining us here on Blessed to Play.
Thanks, Ron.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook. Hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Walter Pennington, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number two, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number two, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.